Well, tonight, as I'm sure you're aware, it's going to be slightly different. Thank you for being here. It's going to be slightly different because we're still going to pray at the end of our meeting for the usual amount of time. We might even pray for a little bit longer tonight. We might get through what we're looking at tonight a bit quicker than we normally do when it's a Bible study to start with. And, of course, that's really important because prayer flows out of a recognition of our dependency on God, and I'm sure we all have an ever-creasing sense of how much we depend on God for everything we do, and we need him so much, especially if we want to make any progress in our spiritual life. So prayer is going to be essential, and we will pray like normal. So in some ways our meeting won't be any different in that respect, but it's slightly different because as a church council we thought it would be appropriate just to give everyone an update on how things are progressing in regards to changing the name of the church and surrounding issues. So the purpose of this first time, normally we'd be looking in the Bible and having a Bible study, but the purpose tonight is just to give everyone an update on where we're up to and what's going to happen, just so everybody is in the loop. But before we come on to that, I would first like to tell everybody some encouraging things that people have told me over the last few months. And ever since Vision Sunday, it's been incredible, really. On numerous occasions, people have come up to me and said, my Bible reading was, or a memory verse I was learning was, or the Lord spoke to me in this certain way, supporting what was happening on Vision Sunday or some of the things that we're talking about. And that's happened on numerous occasions, and tonight I just want to highlight two of those. And I'll not tell you the people that came up to me with these two things because they'll probably be embarrassed. I don't want to put them on the spot. So I'm going to look at a couple of verses that people brought to me and they really felt the Lord had given to them or laid them on their hearts soon after Vision Sunday, or even the same day, or maybe just when they were thinking about some of the things. So this is the first one. You can turn there if you like. I'm always a bit suspicious when someone writes a verse on the screen. They might not have got it right. Everyone's going to be checking now. Oh, you can't see your side. Why is that? That's weird. Use your imagination. Let's try again. No. Just read it. Thanks for that, Alan. Like I said, always a bit suspicious. Okay, there we go. But still turn the Bible. Isaiah 43 and verses 18 and 19. And this is what these verses said. So these are what someone came up to me and said that the Lord had laid these on their heart when they were thinking about these things. And it says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Now, what that person took from that verse is quite self-explanatory, isn't it? You'll notice at the beginning of verse 19, see, I am doing a new thing. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that as a church we were doing something different and now we're changing everything we're doing. Of course not. We're still proclaiming the gospel and we are seeking to reach out to our community with the gospel. But that does mean some changes because we don't want there to be unnecessary barriers to the gospel that would prevent people from wanting to hear the gospel. So anything that hinders the gospel, it doesn't need to be there. It's okay to move, but that doesn't mean change for change's sake, only if it is worthwhile. And those verses came as a real encouragement to the person who shared that with me. It was just, they were just praying about these things and they just happened to be in Isaiah and came across those verses and they were a real encouragement. And the other one that someone pointed out, like I say, there were many more than this, but another one someone pointed out to me was Exodus 12, and this is 4 and 5. And again, this isn't the whole of the verses I've written down. I've missed the middle bit out, but I'll read the whole thing out from my Bible. Sorry, it's Genesis. Did I say Exodus? It's Genesis. Like I say, ignore what's on screen. There we go. Okay, so Genesis 12. Yeah, you can, so it might be even something more amazing if we go to Exodus, who knows? So Genesis 12, 4 and 5 says this. So in Genesis chapter 12, we see that God speaks. It's incredible when we read Genesis 1 to 11. The world has fallen in Genesis 3, and there's all these problems. There's the flood, and there is wickedness on the earth. And then out of nowhere, the Lord speaks to Abram. And we know from the rest of the Bible that Abram was from a people who worshipped the sun, and he wasn't a religious man. He didn't believe in God or anything, but God spoke to him, and he called him, and he just promised outlandish blessing to this man who was from a family of people who worshipped the sun. And we read this in verse 4. So God's told him to leave his people and go to a land he would show him. Verse 4, so Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. And the part of a verse that really impacted this person was just that them last few words, and they arrived there. So God called them, they had to be obedient, and they had to set out, so it became a reality, but it became a reality because God was with them. So the encouragement to this person, of course, was when we're following God and have faith, God will make sure that we arrive there. So that was another encouragement. I just think it's brilliant how the Lord uses his word to give people confirmation that we're on the right track and should continue pursuing the course he set for us. They're just a couple of things. There are many, many more, but that's just a couple of encouragements. So what's happened and what's been planned? Well, one of the key things we have to do is we have a lot of people that we have to tell. And probably top of the list of people we have to tell is the Charities Commission. And that's because we have to get permission to change our name off the Charities Commission. Why do we have to do that? Well, as you know, we're a charity and charities are regulated by the Charities Commission. So to make a change, it's just one of their rules. To make a change, we have to go to the Charities Commission and get permission to do that. Alan Jones has been in touch with Neil, who works for the FIEC. He's a solicitor there. He's one who deals with all this legal side of things in churches. And part of the correspondence, Neil said he will be able to contact the Charities Commission on our behalf. And he continued to say in his email, "I do not anticipate that there'll be much of an issue surrounding this. The real issue will be how the change of name affects the property trust, and I will have to do a bit more digging on this and get back to you." As some of you are aware, this might be a bit boring for some people, but as many of you are aware, we have managing trustees, and that's the church council, and then also we have property trustees. The managing trustees, the church council, are legally responsible for the day-to-day running of the church. But the property trustees are responsible for ensuring that the managing trustees, which sounds like double Dutch, just close your ears for a few minutes, but the property trustees have the responsibility to make sure the managing trustees are doing what the property trust says. So we're doing what we're allowed to in this building. The problem is our current property trust deed is archaic. It's very difficult to read and outdated in many, many ways. A lot of it talks about things that don't exist anymore. And the property trustees are actually in the process of changing that original trust document to one that is much more simpler. And to be much more simple, that just means anything that can be read. And that's what they're in the process of doing. And the fact that we are changing the name now at the same time is probably quite a good thing, because it means we're only going to have to change it once. It's not going to mean we're going to have to change the property trust deed again at some point in the future. One of the things that hopefully will happen is the property trust deed will come part as of the church's constitution, and that's all happening at the moment. So that's one of the things that has to be done, and the property trustees and managing trustees are dealing with at the moment. However, it's not just the Charities Commission we have to tell. We also need to let HMRC know. We need to let the bank know, the Registrar of Marriages. We need to let the Land Registry know, the data protection people, the copyright people, United Utilities, Walmsley's commercial insurance provider, the missions we support, the people we do the child protection with, and we could go on and on and on and on. But that'll hopefully just give you a bit of an idea. And much correspondence has been sent out, and we've even received a letter addressed to Hope Church the other day, which is quite amazing since it's not even happened yet. So somebody somewhere is on the ball. If only all were so simple to do. But we need to look at the bigger picture, because that's the legal and administration side of things. We're not making these changes for the sake of HMRC or NatWest or the Charities Commission. We are making these changes to seek to make a bigger impact on our community, being more understandable, more accessible, making it possible to share our hope in the gospel with them. So what's been done in regards to that? What's been done in regards to the fact of the people we want to tell? So not the people who we have to tell. What about those who we want to tell? What are we doing? Well, we're currently in the process of making a postcard-sized leaflet that informs people of our new name. And that'll be available for you to take from the back of church when they're available. But also we plan for these to be delivered in the area in the usual 1,200 houses that we do with the tracts. So they're the ones that are the closest to the church. So that's one thing that we're doing to try and let people know what's happening. Also, Marlene's very kindly been working on an article for the local press for us. We're just getting some additional guidance on that from Paul Hurst as to the length and a bit more information on the content. But Marlene's made a really good start at that. Paul Hurst is the guy who came on Easter morning and took some pictures for our website. He's also a journalist. That's why we're asking him, because he has a heads up on those sorts of things. Hopefully we'll get that in a few local papers, such as the Wigan Reporter, the Wigan Observer, is it? St Helens Reporter, and any others that we can. And Paul Hurst seemed quite confident. He said because of the cuts in journalism, there's not as many journalists around. So if you do a well-written article and give it to them, they're ready to have something to put in their paper and saves them a bit of time. So he was quite confident that we would be able to get something in if we did something. And of course, there's so many advantages of writing our own rather than getting a journalist from the paper to come and write something for us. Paul Hurst is also in the process of thinking about designing us a logo. If I showed you that, what would you think of? Yeah, leprosy mission straight away. Joan maybe has her badge on tonight. Oh, she's not going on today. But often Joan has a badge, and that's just the symbol, isn't it? We all recognise that's the leprosy mission. And we were thinking it'd be absolutely brilliant if we could have a logo of some sort or other to go on our correspondence and on our notice board, etc., etc., just to hopefully get in people's mind when they think about that. They start thinking about church, or maybe if they see us with a logo somehow, they might start asking some questions. Now, this is one specific thing that really does need our prayer, because until we have the logo, we can't finish the leaflet, we can't finish the website, we can't finish the notice board. So do pray that we would come up with one that we are happy with. We can't finish other things until that's been done. Like I've already mentioned just then, we're also in the process of thinking about replacing the notice boards outside, and we plan on removing both notice boards. If you look outside, you'll know that there is one that's got the details of the activities on, which you can't really read if you stood on the road, unfortunately, unless you've got really good eyes. And the other one is one that we take out and change, but it's very difficult to do that. So what we're planning on doing is just putting one quite nice big one, just with the name of the church, the strap line, which is to live by faith, to be known by love, to be a voice of hope, and also the website. So something that's very visible, very easy to read. And much clearer. That seems to be the best option. And also, currently, a new website is being worked on, and Sarah and the web team have done a great job at that. It's almost at the publishing stage. Of course, like I said, it will incorporate the new logo when that's done. The website address is, and I should have had this on the screen. In fact, I have some pictures for you to look at, just so you get a flavour of what it looks like. Very, very nice and fresh and clean and modern. It looks great. And I've not got all the pictures, but this is just some of them. There's obviously different menus with the homepage, church activities, youth activities, meet the pastor, about us, and then different events. And this is the homepage, and it'll keep cycling through different pictures and showing what's coming up. I just went off on one then. I can't remember what I was going to say. It was something important. The website, that was it, the address is www.homepage.com. hopechurchashton.org. It's not yet live. If you go on, it'll say the site's under maintenance. But obviously, we need to go live with that before we can distribute anything, because the last thing we want is the first time someone tries to access our website saying this site is under construction and they never come back. So that'll not go live. The leaflets will not go out, or nothing will be distributed with that web address on until it's functional. And I think it just about is. It's almost ready to go. Also on the website, there is plans to make it so you can listen to messages online. So if you want to catch up on one that you've missed or listen to something again, it will also have that facility. So you'll have the CD lending library, the purchasing system, or also being able to access them via the web. So that's very close to being done. hopechurchashton.org is the web address, but we'll publicise that very well once it is live. What will happen on the day? That's the 29th of June. That's anniversary Sunday. Well, we're giving this some thought, and we've decided that we're not going to specifically, if you remember the induction of your first pastor 5 years ago, in October, whenever the induction was, 5 years. Still don't have any grey hairs. Working on it. If you remember then, we invited a lot of people, and that was great. But we've decided, since our main focus and our main vision of the name change and everything else is to reach out to people in our local community, although inviting visiting speakers and people like that would raise our profile maybe to Christians in the area, that's not our main aim. And also we have a space issue. People obviously have commitments on Sunday with their own home fellowships. So we've decided we're not going to make any special invitations to people like outside the fellowship, but we do want to encourage as many people in the local area as possible to come, and friends and family, and it'll hopefully be a great day. Harold's written a new song that we learned a couple of weeks ago, and Junior Church's contribution on that day will be based around hope. Also for the day, we're planning on having some pens and wristbands done with our name or website address on or something, which everyone will get as a gift. And hopefully there'll be more than a souvenir of the day. I was there when it happened type thing. Hopefully you won't sell them on eBay. You'll not get anything for them. But hopefully they'll be used to maybe start a conversation again about the church. If someone sees a wristband or a pen and asks you a question, you can talk about Hope Church even better, the hope that we have in Jesus. It's essential that in everything that I've spoken about, the website and the notice board and leaflets, it's essential that we do not forget that we're not trying to make Hope Church well known. Well, we are, but that's because we want to make Jesus well known. And that's always our aim. And we want people to hear about Jesus's fame and how and why he came to earth to rescue them. So wristbands, pens, websites, leaflets, newspaper articles, all those things are just tools for us in doing that. They're not the thing. They're not the gospel, are they? But hopefully we'll be able to use them as tools to explain in the gospel to other people. What about in the church? Is there anything that's going to happen? Well, a couple of things. We're planning on getting a picture done, hopefully on canvas, with a picture of Ashton and possibly the name of the church, or possibly welcome on, just for in the main, not just the foyer outside the disabled toilet, just when you walk in, just for people to see and hopefully feel welcomed. And also one idea that we're going to try and implement is to have a family church board somewhere in the church. It'll probably be in here. And what's a family church board? We're hoping to get pictures of everyone who attends our church, and we'll use a lot of the ones that Paul Hurst took on Easter Sunday, and we'll put them on the board with people's names underneath them. So it's not going to necessarily... So on the day, he took pictures of people who were sat in groups. So it's not necessarily, when it says family, I mean our church family rather than biological family. And that's just going to be somewhere on a notice board so that people who are new to the church have a chance at learning our names. People who are visitors see who's part of the church. If you don't want your picture on there, let me know. And when we've got it up, if your picture is not on there and you want it to be, please also let us know. We'll probably arrange something so we can have people's pictures taken maybe for a few weeks after a service to make sure we get everyone's picture on there who wants to be. That'll hopefully just be a nice thing. Help us to feel part of things in the church, just something for people to look at and just brush up on the names, if you don't know everyone's names, and that'll be something great that we'll be able to have as a church. As you can tell, there's a lot to be done in 27 days. A lot's already started to be done, as you can see, but it's really exciting. But like I've already said, these things are tools, and we must make sure that we have a spirit of dependency on God and not anything else. Our vision is not to change the name of the church. Our vision is not to get a nice new website. Our vision is not to get some new wristbands. Our vision is to tell people about Jesus. Our vision is to bring glory to God and to live by faith, to be known by love, and to be a voice of hope. We're never done doing that. If we get confused in our minds what our vision is, if we think our vision is getting our name changed of our church, and then in 27 days' time we'll think, job done, we can put our feet up when there are people around us still perishing in their sins. So getting all this stuff done doesn't change the fact that people around us still need to hear about Jesus, and we need to try and do that personally and as a church well, to be obedient and bring honour to God. So that's an update of where we're at and what we're planning. It's our desire and our hearts. The desire of our hearts is to please God. That's what we're about. We want to please God and not ourselves. Before we pray, I'd just like us to just look at a couple of verses from Matthew before we do come to prayer. And tonight we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God would bless all this activity and movement so that he would be glorified. We're going to pray, and we need to plead with him that he would shower his blessings on us. But before we pray, I'd just like to draw your attention to these words. This is Matthew 13, 18 and 19. So this Jesus has told the parable of the sower. And he's quoted some words from Isaiah, and then he starts to explain what the parable means to his disciples. And in verse 18, he says this: "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path." What does that verse tell us? Why does this verse tell us that people do not get the gospel? So in verse 19, what's the reason why people do not understand the gospel? Was it that the preacher wasn't clear enough? Was it because the tract didn't contain all of the gospel? Was it because they didn't have a good enough website? Was it because they didn't have a nice, clean-looking notice board? No, the reason why people didn't understand is because the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Now that should remind us of something tremendously important, that we're at war. We're in a spiritual war. And leaflets will be distributed, and they might get put straight in the bin. Invites are going to be given verbally and also again with a leaflet, but people again will probably reject them. Why? Was it because the leaflet wasn't attractive enough? Was it because the font size wasn't right? No, it's because the enemy is at work. So we need to pray. We need to pray that God would be at work through all these things. Because if God's not at work, then the enemy will be, and he'll snatch these things away. Now, Satan doesn't have the same power as God. And when we pray, we access that power, don't we? There's a great song that says, "Every prayer, a powerful weapon." That means tonight, when we pray, every single prayer, even though you might not pray out loud, even if you're just praying, whispering in your heart tonight, that prayer is a powerful weapon. So tonight, when we pray, please don't, I know it's so easy, isn't it, to let your mind wander. Even if you don't feel comfortable praying out loud, that's fine. But remember that every prayer is a powerful weapon. And we can all do that in our hearts. Pray that God would receive glory.